Hello. It was like 100 degrees yesterday. It's going to be like 50 tomorrow. I don't know what's going on. So how's everybody doing? You doing okay this morning? Remember to encourage, like Gloria's praying, those who haven't seen for a while, those who are part of our fellowship. But I'll correct one thing she prayed about. Some of them you do have to wake from their physical slumber too because they just don't like to get up. So you can encourage them and help them to do that. But, just pray for them, encourage them, love them. Encourage them to join us. Give cheerfully to the shoebox. I can't say that enough. Think about it. Touch a life around the world for like, what, $30 or so? Amazing. It's amazing. You know, I mean, $30, I'm not saying it's nothing. And for some of you, you live very close. But, you know, for most of us, we could take, you know, $1 a day for a month and put it in a thing and then bring in enough for a shoebox. You know, most of us can do that. Just cheerfully give. And then join us when we pack them. It'll be a lot of fun. We always have a lot of fun when we do. We're very efficient, you know, by God's grace. We get it done probably even too quick. it's over already. We want to spend more time. But it's actually a very good process. So you can, you know, join us on the 13th, that is, right, of November. There's probably a lot else I can talk about, but I'm going to say this. Let's bow our heads and pray and open God's word. Father, bless this word to our hearts. Give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive. That, Lord, it would make a good deposit, bear fruit, bring glory to you, help us to live, and bring the gospel to many creatures. So, Lord, thank you for your word and your promises, to which we say yes and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you mention communion? November 12th? Okay, November 12th, the last day that we were collecting for operate. We're going to have communion that Sunday, November 12th. So make sure that you're with us. And again, encourage others to join us as we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. Have you been paying attention? Oh, two people. See, I knew it. I don't know anything. Anything? Yeah, look, there's a lot going on, right? There's stuff going on everywhere. It's craziness, but, you know, sometimes you don't want to pay attention. You're like, I don't want to hear stuff anymore. But have you been paying attention when you come to church? Have you noticed, as we've gone through these letters to the churches, have you noticed something that took place in those churches a couple weeks ago? Something that crept in to the churches? Did you notice it? I talked about it a little bit, but if you're paying attention, I know you pay attention, but sometimes, you know, we need to be reminded and, you know, sometimes we have to have things, you know, brought out just a little more. Compromise. Now, you know what that word is, right? Compromise. You know, you make a concession and accommodation for somebody who doesn't agree with you or agree with a certain standard or rules. Compromise. It's and there's times, truthfully, if you want to be honest about it, there's times when compromise is good and right. There's times. If you're married, you know compromise is good sometimes. You know? Where you want to just stay. Yeah. Keep the peace and not have a battle, and you know, and there are other times we compromise because it's things that we, you know, it's better than starting a war and a battle than getting your own way. So you make a concession, you compromise. It's okay. Meg likes red meat. She's the red meat eater, right? I'm not so much the red meat. I'll opt for fish or chicken or something else more. That's more my style. So some nights, you know, dinner. What are you going to do? I want a steak. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't really want a steak. Wait a minute. Fire up the grill. Throw on a nice steak and I'll throw on a tuna steak or something, you know. And we're happy, make our veggies and we're good. And it's okay sometimes to have those kind of compromises. That's fine. But in other matters, it's not so good, especially when it comes to the Word of God. Deuteronomy 5:32. I mean, It's good to have your Bibles. Look it up, but it's going to be on the screen too, but I'd like you to have your Bibles out. You know that's great to do. Deuteronomy 5:32. This is what God says. Be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. You know what that means? No compromise. Stay right in it. Steadfast. One of my favorites, Psalm 1. That's coming later. Psalm 119 first. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were direct to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Another translation of the Bible takes verse 3 of this and says, joyful are those who do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. Beginning with the church of Pergamos, which we heard about a few weeks back, and then as the church in Thyatira, we begin to see the church taking those slippery steps of compromise, and they are slippery steps. They are. The steps of compromise are slippery because once you start, sometimes you can't regain your footing, and you just go straight on down. I think it was Tony Evans who said, compromise is the cancer of the church, and we must rid Christ's body of it. While Christians can compromise on preferences, they cannot compromise on principles. We can't be one way on Sunday and another on Monday. This is a major problem among Christians in America today. We don't take a stand. We don't keep our standards. We merely shift to satisfy society. And unfortunately, I would have to agree with that statement. So whether it was the false teaching in Pergamum and Thyatira, you know, the doctrine of Balaam in Pergamum, or the spirit of Jezebel in Thyatira, whatever it might be, it's wrong when we compromise the word of God 100% of the time. Listen to what Peter said in his second epistle. Now, I'm going to read from a different translation you want to see on the screen. You could follow it, but listen to the words as I read them. This is what Peter says regarding this. Forsaking the right way. These are those that have compromised. They have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved gain from wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. A speechless donkey spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Speaking about these that would go their own way, that would compromise, he says, they are waterless springs and mist driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. When we compromise from the truth, we will become ensnared by whatever we begin to compromise with. Sin always corrupts. It always destroys. The doctrine of Balaam, right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. To compromise what we know that is morally right and expedient, or to put stumbling blocks in front of other people that will trip them, ourselves, or other people with their walk with God. Trip them up. With the church in Pergamum, they began eating food, sacrificed idols. Eventually, they were on the slippery slope to spiritual idolatry, full blown. Jesus, last week rebuked the church in Thyatira for their theological and moral compromise. What did Jesus say to that church? I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. So when you combine the hybrid teachings of Balaam, the false prophecies and false teachings of a Jezebel, and you mix them together, and then you have with that that doctrine of the Nicolaitans, or those group of people that set themselves up as authority over the church, who would basically say, do what I say, not as I do, and they would all go through this, and you mix that hodgepodge all together, and you know what you have? You have a doctrine that says you can compromise your behavior, mix it with the world and whatever it's doing, yet at the same time you can have a reputation of being morally superior and in a good place with God. No. No. But many do. But many do. Religious superiority, thinking you're okay when you're really not. Being able to point at everybody else, forgetting the beam that's in your own eye. What a sad indictment on the church that lives that way, who have compromised what they know is wrong, but thought or were taught that they were free to do that and there would be no consequences because that's what somebody leadership told them, or because they didn't tell them the truth and deny the truth and the truth. I mean, they said, oh, it's just okay. And then maintaining that spiritual superiority, I'm okay. See, the church of Smyrna several weeks back, remember that church? They were in under intense pressure to compromise. And all they had to do was once a year burn the incense, right? That's all they had to do. Caesar is Lord. That's all they had to do. That was their only compromise that they were being told to do. Everything else, live the way you want. Doesn't matter. And you know what they said? No, we will not compromise even to this thing. We won't. Up until the death. But Pergamos said, no, 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 no. We like our position, our place. We can make certain compromises. We can make them. They're okay. They allowed it to come in, and they began that slippery slope of compromise. Now, I could not confirm this, what I'm going to read you now. I couldn't confirm it, but I heard it reported in a couple places that the sites that I heard them from were trustworthy, so I think it's probably said. But even if it wasn't said directly by an individual, I believe that that spirit of what it was said is really alive and well in our world today. This is what this person said. This is from supposedly an official, a government official in the country of India, who, when they were talking about the problem of Christians, the problem of Christians that are infiltrating in their society and growing, and they talked about how do we deal with this problem. Supposedly, this Indian official said this. He said, don't persecute the Christians. They'll become strong and spread. Instead, wherever you find Christians grouped together, build cinemas, drinking halls, nightclubs, gambling dens, and they will destroy themselves. Wow. Even if we're not 100% true, the fact that somebody could look at that and begin to say, that's the strategy, like Balaam, just infiltrate them with stuff of the world, the pleasure, things that they want to do, and then all of a sudden they'll corrupt themselves. Woo! Compromise. It's a bad thing. How often is this the case? Not in India, but here, right in front of us. How many of us have at times, and hopefully not now, but maybe we still do. We're very, very ardent worshipers on Sunday morning. We are. And we get up and Christian music's on and we make sure we pray and we get all nice to come to church and we're all got our Christian face on and we get our Christianese language just right. Put on our Christian posture and then go home and forget about what we heard, what we learned, and live our life the way we live it to, you know, worship, money, pleasure, whatever. And then come back next Sunday and feel good about it. Compromise. God is holy. All right, I only got two to say something. I need you all to say it. God is holy. Okay, all right. And you can keep this up. Follow me here. God's ways are right. Okay. God is good. Okay? We agree with that stuff. At least we say it, or with our intellect, we agree for sure. So concerning matters, if God is all that, we believe it. So concerning matters that God has clearly addressed, church, we should never negotiate, bargain, compromise. Never. Never. There are certain lines that should not be crossed. I can think of many in the Bible who crossed certain lines to the point where some even lost their lives because of compromise and took others down with them. So as you and I navigate this world, and I think we have to, and I believe it was Dwight Moody, don't quote me on this, I didn't even look it up, I just thought about it. I think he said something to the effect that, like, Christians, we should be, like, on a boat in the ocean. Where we're in it, we're on it, but it shouldn't, the ocean should never get in us. You know what I mean? We have to be in the world, but not affected by the world in a way where it comes to us. But we have to negotiate there. So as you and I negotiate this world that we live in as Christians, there's going to be many calls to compromise in all different areas. All different areas. I'm going to give you just a couple. Hebrews 11:25 talks about the fleeting pleasures of sin. It's always around us. It's only one time. It's only one night. It's only once. Nobody will ever find out. I'm not even at home. I'm out of town. You know? Who can see? I won't do it again. You can fill in and elaborate with any other things that are just the fleeting momentary pleasures of sin that the enemy's going to always dance before you. He's going to cater up for you. It's okay. It's just this once. It's okay. It's okay. It's not going to become a pattern. It's not going to be a habit. Just once, one time. It's okay. No, it's a lie. Do not compromise. Colossians 2:8 talks about the hollow and deceptive philosophies of this world. It's going to come at us. It's going to come at us all the time that, wait a minute, maybe we're too rigid. You know, maybe what we've been taught for these last 2,000 years, you know, times have changed. People have changed. Maybe it is true. We're being too harsh. Maybe it is true that people of the same gender can marry. That it's okay. Because isn't it true that it's only just about love if you truly love somebody? That's what it's all about? You know, we live in a different age now. No. God tells us what that is. That true marriage is only between one man, one woman for life. But the calls of the world, the dictates, you guys are just too rigid. You have to get in with the times. Because we have grown and we know more things now. We have science. We can do DNA. We have psychology and we can tell you that this is wrong and we're right. That there's a way. A better way. All these things, as John says in his first epistle, he says, these things are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They all come and they all conspire together for us to bring us to this place of compromise. And it's usually, always have something to do with a fear of something. For example, as Christians, we're a fear of people saying we're too rigid and this and that, so we make a little compromise because we don't want to be rejected. We really want everybody to like us. We want them all to accept us. Isn't that good? We don't want people to stay away from our meetings, do we? No, we don't, but compromise is not the way to do it. Do we love people that are in sin? Absolutely. We love them enough to tell them the truth and not compromise what that truth is. See, what makes compromise so dangerous is the subtle way it approaches us. See, compromise by definition doesn't involve a wholesale change or capitulation to worldly ways. In other words, you don't have to throw Jesus out the door. You don't have to stop reading your Bibles. You don't have to stop coming to church and playing your songs and, you know, doing all this other stuff. But these areas that you could compromise a little here and there, and you can still have Jesus too, because most of us, and probably all of us, would recoil at the thought of throwing out Jesus altogether, right? Turning our backs on God altogether, we hopefully would recoil at that. But compromise says, no, you can have your Jesus. But you can have this too. You can have that too. Remember in the garden, Satan only changed one word to bring the whole downfall of humanity. Just one word. Just come on. A little compromise. What's the harm? You still have Jesus. It's vital to know when and if we can compromise versus the times when we should never compromise. So like that quote said that I read earlier, we can compromise on preferences. Like I gave the illustration about Meg and I with dinner. Many of you struggle with things like that. Or what color to paint the room. You know, or which car are we going to buy? You like this one, I like this one. We can look at this. We could talk about it. We can agree, sometimes even agree to disagree. But we come to some kind of conclusion and we can kind of push everything forward. That's okay. There's times to compromise. But we never compromise on the values and the standards of the Word of God and those things that stem from that. Let me give you some examples. We, Christians, should never, ever, ever compromise on the essentials of the Christian faith. Never! There's one God, three persons, virgin birth, cross being the only way of salvation. I mean, these are the principles. These are the rock-solid principles. And there's others. I'm just giving you a short list here. These are things are the essentials of the Christian faith that without those things, we are not distinctly Christian anymore. We cannot compromise on those things. Yes, we can have some nice discussions about certain things, about what type of music to play, or you know, things about this subject or that subject, or the timing maybe of the rapture. Maybe some believe differently, but that's okay. There are questions that we can talk about. We can search the scriptures, but we don't compromise on those essential things. We cannot. Cannot. We cannot. Going hand in hand with that thought, compromise on the preaching of the Word of God, the faithful preaching and teaching of the Word of God. I've told you guys this many times before, and I'll say it again. If I or somebody else come here, preach something different, pick me up by my belt strap, and throw me out the door. We preach and teach the truth. We need to stand upon it. We can't compromise on that. The lordship and authority of Jesus Christ. This is not our church, it's his church. He's in charge. The Holy Spirit ruling and reigning in our hearts, amongst us. That's what we believe and know. We have to be faithful to that and not compromise on that. Now, let me give you another one that you might not always think about. And at first, you might say, wait, I don't get this, but let me stay with me, let me explain. You also should not compromise on your own morals and principles that, let me elaborate, that are based on the Word of God. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. This is from Romans chapter 14, by the way. You can check me out. For example, Paul was talking about people in his day that struggle on the subject of eating certain types of meat. Paul said, oh, everything's good to eat. Just give thanks to God for it. But if eating certain things causes you or somebody else to stumble, don't eat that thing. So, for example, when I was a very, very, very young Christian, first few years that I was Christian, the Holy Spirit kept me, directed me, showed me that I could not and should not listen to secular music. At the beginning of my Christian walk, that was the way. It was just I had to turn it off, recoil from it, stay away from it. That was for me in my growth because of me, where I came from, all that kind of stuff. It was just I had to stay away from it. Now, I went to my, you know, we have our company, and I went to my mom's office one day, and she was listening to, I don't remember exactly, but it was, you know, standards, Sinatra, something. And I'm like, Mom, what are you listening to? Blah, 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 blah. She goes, what are you talking about? See, she didn't have that conviction. It didn't have that thing. The Holy Spirit never directed her to say this, you should not do that. But for me, I was. I had to stand by that. She never told me to stop being silly and you can listen to any kind of music, Joe. She
didn't see that for her it was a problem, but for me it was. Now later as I grew in the Lord, it didn't become a problem anymore. I was released from that. I'm able to listen to any kind of music. I don't make a big habit of listening to a lot of other music, but I can. I can enjoy it. It has value in certain places, certain times. I don't have that conviction anymore. But when I did, I needed to obey that conviction because the Holy Spirit was working out something in me, training me, right? Keeping me from something that may have caught me or tempted me to go astray and to compromise. Do you understand? And so what Paul was talking about, he says, you know, there's certain scruples that we have that the Holy Spirit will impress upon us. Then don't. If you can't do it in faith, it's sin. So you better make sure you do that thing or don't do that thing, whatever the Holy Spirit's showing you. Because the Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows if we go down that certain road, we're going to get caught up in something. And you all know that. Amen? And we should not tell somebody who is weak in a certain area, like Paul says, oh, don't be a baby. You could do it. You could do all things in Christ. Yeah, we can, but Paul says, all things aren't good for me to do. I'm only going to do things that are going to edify. And if for somebody they know this is something they can't be a part of, then guess what? Walk alongside them in that. And when you're with them, don't tempt them by doing it yourself. Because you can cause them to stumble. Jesus said to that church in Thyatira, you're causing these little ones to stumble. He said it's worse, right? He said when he was on the earth, that if somebody causes one of these little ones to stumble, that a millstone be put on their neck and they'd be cast into the sea. So there's things that we should never compromise. But then there are the moral things that the Bible talks about that I don't care what your opinion is, you better follow the Bible. Well, I don't think, I believe in the Bible, but I think this page, I'm not sure about. And this page, no, listen, you better follow it all, whether you agree with it or not. There are those defined moral principles, ethical principles, things in the Word of God, the do's and the don'ts. Yeah, you better follow those, regardless of your personal opinion. So we must be careful then to live, not only have an intellectual belief, we need to be careful to live these things out in our society. Lot was, I talked about him many times. He's a perfect example of a man who did not live by the things he knew he should live by. And when him and Abraham had to separate, and Abraham said, okay, Lot, you pick where you would go. Lot used his own eyes, and he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, and he pitched his tent there. Then he went to live in there. Then he became a notable, a figure in that place. And then when destruction was coming, nobody would believe him because he lived a completely compromised life that nobody saw anything of God in him. And they wouldn't believe that destruction was coming. That's what happens when we compromise. We rob people of knowing the truth. Not only because of what we say, but how we live. Because we could say everything we want, but they watch us living a certain way, they're going to say, you really don't believe what you talk about. If you really believed it, you'd live it. Amen? See, it gets real quiet when it starts to get us. We go, ooh. But if you can't say amen yet, I hope by the end of this time you're saying amen because you're saying, I need to repent about some things. That's okay. Because he calls the churches to repent, doesn't he? So we must be careful. You know, James said, faith without works is what? Dead. If you're not living it out, man, you don't really got it. So if your intention and my intention is to actively pursue a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and to obey him in all things, we're going to find ourselves less likely to compromise. So let me bring this all together and give us some little helps here, okay? See, the more you and I are in this word, the more you and I know these things to be true, the more we hear about it, we more the readily that we're saying we want to live this way, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to our hearts very clearly. And you know what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice, and they know me. So I'm going to give you some good news. You and I do need to make a decision not to compromise first, to resist the urge to compromise. But the good news about it is you don't have to do it in your own power. You don't. And I'm going to give you scriptures. This is not my opinion. I'll tell you when it's my opinion. This is the word of God. Listen. I have a couple scriptures here for you on this. 2 Peter again, chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read it actually to verse 9, and there's a reason for that. You got a couple more minutes? Okay, it won't take long. Glory is okay. You rest of you want to go home? You're done now?
Come on, a couple more minutes. Just a couple more minutes, I promise. Peter says to the church, according as his divine power, God's divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, everything we need to live a Christian life, a holy Christian life, right? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Yes, he put it in us. Thank you, Lord. It goes on. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Wow, okay. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, being more like Jesus, right? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Good. He's given us everything we need. Please, somebody say amen. But he goes on. He says, and beside this, in other words, everything God's done for you, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, he's given you what you need, but you have to do some things on your own. You have to add. You're not adding to your salvation. You're not adding to, you know, make you more. You're adding to the fact that, wait, he's built this into me, but I got to work now. I have something to do. I'm going to say no to compromise, and instead of just denying myself, I'm going to build myself up on the things that matter. I'm going to grow in faith. I'm going to grow in knowledge, virtue, temperance, and patience, brotherly kindness, and love. I'm going to grow. I want to become more like Jesus. I'm going to actively say, Father, work out. And Paul said it this way. Wherefore, my beloved, as you, this is Philippians 2. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. So he's given us everything we need, but we have to yield ourselves to it, and we have to say, Father, now I am going to grow and add. I want to become more like you actively. Peter said, and I didn't read this last verse, he said, if you don't add, verse 9 of that 2 Peter, he says, but he that lacketh these things, who doesn't grow, is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You're going to find yourself walking back in the mud again. We have to. We have to say, I will not compromise. But we could deny all we want. We have to say, Father, for me to do that, you give me everything I need, but I have to let it grow in me. I have to add. And then to do that, you need to have the Word of God to nourish your soul so that you can add. It's hard to put on muscle if you don't eat the right foods and stuff. You know what I mean? You just start to wither away if you don't eat right. Now I'll go to Psalm 1. Many of you know this psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So when he does all this, and he keeps adding, right, listen to what happens, and he, the man who does these things, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You will be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you will not bend to compromise. Isn't that good? But you can't be standing and walking with the sinners and the scoffers. You can't be sitting with them. Because eventually they're going to pull at you enough that you're going to slip that slope and go into compromise. You could add Psalm 119 again, right? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We need the word of God in us, nourishing us, helping us to grow, reminding us of these things, to remember the truth, and giving us the power we need, like the sap flowing through us, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit that we can live this Christian life that he has empowered us to live. And listen, there's one more thing. There's one more thing. With all this world that comes against us and the world and the flesh, our flesh and the devil, and even with all these things, it gets hard, man. It's hard not to bend, not to compromise. But I want you to take a quick second or 2 seconds. And look around this room. Look, look, look. There's others here. He did not leave us here to do this by ourselves. He's given us everything in us. He's telling us how we can grow by adding and being in his word. But he also gave us one another to walk in community together. You know what the Bible says? You know this well, Hebrews 10. And let us consider one another to provoke. Oh, I know some of you love to provoke. But the Bible's talking about a good kind of provocation, a good kind of provoking. He tells what? Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We encourage one another to stay on the path, to stay on the road, not to compromise, not forsaking the assembling together of ourselves as the manner of some is, but exhorting to one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Oh, church, that's why we need to come together in fellowship and pray for one another and talk together and reason together. And when one of us sometimes get a crazy idea of a certain type of compromise, the other one can say, whoa, 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 where's that coming from? Let's look in the Word of God. What's God say? Oh, yeah, thank you for that reminder. Let's pray. Pray for me because I was getting a little weak there. You know what I mean? I was on that slippery first step. I was ready to go down, but thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister, that the words that you shared with me from Scripture helped me. You know? All right. So when we're focused on God and we're living in an active relationship with him and one another, and we begin to understand his holiness, his goodness, his graciousness, his love, the crushing nature of our sin, and that in our own eyes, like Lot, there's only death and destruction, then we can finally begin to say, no, Lord, I want to walk your way. It's the only way to go. Real quickly, I was thinking about Joseph, Old Testament Joseph. How easy it would have been to sleep with Potiphar's wife. You know that story. How easy would that have been? It would have been easy. And maybe Potiphar would have never found out. But guess what? Joseph then would not have ended up in the dungeon, would not have been able to interpret the dreams, would not have been able to go before Pharaoh, and would not have been used by God to not only save the Egyptian people from starvation, but all of his family that was back home, and allowed him not only to save that, which ultimately was the seed that would come from that family, with Jesus Christ, but even allowed him to reconcile with his brothers. If he would have slept with Potiphar's wife, he probably would have stayed. And by the way, he had a cushy job there. He was in charge of everything. If you want to be a slave that way, Potiphar said, Joseph, do what you want. You're in charge of it all. He could have slept with the wife, and all of a sudden he could have stayed in that house maybe all his years and just died there in Egypt. And none of that other stuff would have been part of his legacy, right? One compromise. Right? How about Daniel? I talked about Daniel, right? Maybe I didn't, but I'll talk about him right now. Daniel had a good compromise. When he first came to Babylon, you know what Daniel did? He said, I can't eat from the king's table. My buddies, we can't eat. This is not the food that we're allowed to eat. So he struck a deal. Let us just eat the veggies. You can even check us out later, make sure we're still all healthy. And it turned out they were more healthy than the people that ate everything, right? Okay, that was a good compromise. Daniel also was a statesman. He was a politician. He was a government official. I guarantee you, during his career in politics, right, he had to make a lot of compromises, right? But when it came down that they passed a law that said you cannot pray to any other god but the king, the human king, Daniel said, oh, no, 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 I will not compromise.
Yeah, but you'll go into the lion's den. I don't care. I don't care. I will not compromise my principles. I will not compromise the word of God. And he even took it to the point where it would have been death if God did not spare him in the lion's den. He said, I will not compromise. Do I add? Dare add one more? Let's not go any farther than our Lord Jesus Christ, who became flesh and came to this earth. And at least on two separate occasions we know of in Scripture, but maybe others that were not recorded, was he directly tempted to bypass the cross. And that temptation was so strong to compromise the only way of salvation that was the plan of the Father to redeem mankind that Jesus even said, Father, if there is any other way, but what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he determined to follow the plan, to fulfill the plan, to go all the way to the cross, sweating great drops of blood in the process, but he would not be deterred. He says, I'm going to go straight for it. And what did the Father do? Send an angel to strengthen him. Amen? If he compromised, we'd be all dead for eternity. But you know what? He didn't compromise. Remember, he was fully God, but he was fully flesh too. It was real. Those struggles are not fake. They were real. But he would not compromise. And because of that, we can sit here today knowing that we are saved from our sin because of the work that he did on the cross for us. See, when you know the goodness of God, when you know how great and wonderful he is, when you know what kind of a loving God he is, that he did all these things, including going to the cross to die for you and I because there was no other way and he would not compromise because of his love for you, then you have to say in that same love, Father, I will not compromise either. Because I love you enough not to compromise, and I love other people enough because if I compromise the truth, then they have no other way of salvation if they don't see the cross in me and the power of God in the gospel. Then there's no other way of salvation. When the church compromises, we condemn people to hell. Oh, but yeah, but they liked us better. They're not going to like you too much when they're burning and you're in glory. That's the truth. So when we know his goodness and that life is only in him, we say no to compromise. When we want to follow him in all our ways and share the good news of salvation to others because he did it for us, we want to do it for others. We say no to compromise. And remember, he gave you everything you need to live that life. Let's live it. If you've compromised in the past, repent. If you're compromising now, repent. And say, Father, no more. No more. I want to go your way and your way alone to thank you and glorify you, and that through me many would come to know your salvation. Father, thank you for your reminder from your word today. Lord, I'm always amazed at you and your word, Lord. No matter how many times we hear it, no matter how many times we read it, no matter how many times we, talk about it, pray about it. Father, it's always timely. It's always here when we need it. And it is truly that wonderful sword, that two-edged sword that cuts away the stuff that needs to go away. And then like a surgeon's scalpel, Lord God, brings healing to us in those parts of the body that need to be healed. Father, let your word today have its perfect and intended effect on every one of us. That, Father, we would never go by the way of compromise, regardless of what the cost. Whatever we might lose in this world, Lord God, we say no. We will not compromise what we believe, what we know to be true. That not only would we be blessed, but, Lord, you would be glorified, and that, Father, others would come to know you through our lives. So thank you, Father, for your word. Let it not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Encourage one another. Before you leave, we're going to sing. If you want to come up for prayer, you know we always can come up for prayer. We love him, huh? Sing that with your heart today and encourage you to exhort one another today if you haven't done so already.